Today we begin Masechet Machshirim, and before we begin, it's kedai for us just to go over quickly the halachas and the psukim that we're going to be taking for granted here in the Mishnayos. So remember that there's a halacha specifically that only mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel, asher yavo alav mayim yitma. So where we talk about the dinim of sheretz, the Torah says specifically that we're talking about food that is able to be mekabel tuma only if yavo alav mayim. So only if it was what we call mukhshar lekabel tuma by having first been exposed to the water. Okay, so the pashtus of this is, as we'll see throughout the sugyas all over Shas, and as actually the Sefer HaChinuch even speaks about in terms of understanding the general way in which the time of the mitzvah that we, the Torah generally will say that you need to have something that is ro'ui for its full use. He compares this, interestingly enough, to the concept of gemar malacha. There's an idea of gemar malacha. So kelim are not mekabel tumah without gemar malacha. Things are not chayev in trumas and maisras. We need to have gemar malacha. So in all things, the Torah only sets down the rules for use once the thing is complete. Now, to talk about food stuff, where it's the human approach to food stuff, that you always will wash it off before using, because in its natural state, most of the vegetables that you're going to pick are covered with dirt, and you're going to be washing off your fruit from all of the bird droppings and all of the sprayings and so on that you don't want to ingest. So because of that, we don't view something as being fully an ochlin until it's actually been washed off. Now that is a fascinating idea, but it isn't exactly, as most of these concepts of taimei mitzvahs, they're never meant to be an exact fit. Because again, they touch on a surface issue, but considering that when we're talking about asher yavo b'mayim, we also include all of the other things in the Torah that are referred to as a mashkin in some pasuk or another. Now that includes also blood, right? Remember the klal is, even though people usually will use yad shachatan, the correct way to remember it is yad dam shachat. And the reason that I say that's the correct way, I mean, even though nobody brings it that way, is because if the yad goes together with the dam, then you also have two dalads in a row. And the two dalads in a row remind you that the dvash, which is one of the dalads, and the dam, that's the other dalad, the dalad reminds you that the dvash is dvash dvorim, and not what we usually call dvash, which is the silan, the juice of the dates or other the perot of the shevamini. That would also be called dvash, like the yarot dvash of Yonatan. But here we're talking about dalad. So the easiest way is to remember the yad, dam, shachat, which would give us not only water, but it would also be the things like the milk and the dam and yayin and shemen and tal. All of those things are considered to be mashkin. Now, to say that people, if they wash off their vegetables in blood, that's going to be the gemar melacha. Obviously, the details don't necessarily fit, but that's fine. We're looking for a overall fit, because as the Rambam says, remember, when you have these dinim, try to make them make sense. It doesn't matter whether you've got a full explanation. Obviously, you don't think that all of the Sof das Rabbi, that now you understood everything about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to understand in this. Good. Okay, so that's a very sweet way of remembering. And remember, we have, because of that, we have that the Chibas HaKodesh is machshiv something, to be considered a foodstuff, even when it's not a foodstuff, you see. So let's say you have Livona, that was going to be put on the Mizbeach, and now it's Kodesh. The din is that Livona, even though it's not a kli, it's not something that you can eat. You're going to eat lavender. But you can actually be metame it. Why? Because it's also choshev because of its kedusha. So you see that the din over here is that the hechsher has to do with that final step to being machshev something as an eichlin. Now, obviously, nothing that you're going to be picking has grown without being exposed to water. So when the Torah says, Asher Yavoa Lav Mayim, it's obviously referring to after it's been picked. Has it gotten wet after it's been picked? So the issue over here revolves yet around another pasuk, which is V'chi yutan mayim al zera v'nafal minivlatam alav tameu lachem. This is the famous drasha that since it says in the pasuk yutan without a vav, it could be read, if you wouldn't know that the correct way to read it, that the mikra is yutan, it's written as yitain. So you could read that ki yitain mayim, which would mean let's say you left something outside and it rained on it, you know? Well, if it would say kiyutan, so then water was put on it. What's the difference whether you put? Yutan, after all, is passive. But yitain is active. So the fact that it's written as if it's yitain teaches us that kiyutan dumya la kiyitain, a famous drasha we've had dozens of times. And what it means is that only... it's true you don't need to be yitain. You don't need to be the agency of the water. It could just rain on it. But it has to be similar to ki yitain. What is that similarity? Your desire. You wanted this to happen. So then it's considered to be, even though it was passive and you weren't involved, it's considered to be moksha lekabel tuma. But if the owner didn't want it to get wet, then it would not be moksha lekabel tuma. Now, the question is, what if the owner wanted it to get wet, but hadn't wanted the water to be available in the first place? So suppose, let's say, it starts to rain, and the guy says, oh, heck, just when I put on my new hat. Then he comes home, and he finds that his apples that had been left outside on the roof were all washed off in the storm. And he says, oh, that's nice. They all got washed and clean. Now, do we go according to when it started raining, where there he was cursing? Or do we say, but at least they got wet in the water, so in the end I wanted it? What about a case like that? So does the initial putting the water, coming of the water has to be l'ratza? Or does the cleaning, whatever happens to the paras, have to be l'ratza? Or, another way, another question would be, suppose the paras are sitting in this water, and first he doesn't want them to be wet, and then actually changes his mind, because somebody came in and wants to buy them right now, and they look nice, and they say, oh, now he's happy. Look how fresh and clean they are. So he changes his mind, and now he wants them to be nice or vice versa. He first was going to sell them, then the guy walks out of the store, now he's going to have to store them, which means he's going to have to dry them all off so that they don't get moldy. What about that? So these are the type of issues that we're going to be learning about in our perek. And what exactly do we mean by the relationship of yutan mayin and asher yavo alav mayin? Okay, so basically what have we learned? They need to be tlushim, they need to be exposed to water, and possibly they need to be in water that the person wanted to have up front. Now, actually, it's a machlokas between all the Rishonim and the Rambam about how to really define that. And let's take a look at Masechet Machshirin, Perek Rishon, Mishnah Aleph. Kol Mashke. The person wanted that water, a simple way, according to all the Rishonim, the person wanted that water when it came. So it starts to rain. The guy was happy that it was raining because he needed his garden to be watered. Auf auf Pech, ein so voller Ratson. And then his peyrot fall into the water, and that he didn't want. Or vice versa, so voller Ratson. At the time that the peyrot fell into the water, he was happy, but he was not happy when it started to rain, and he was cursing it. Hare zebechi yutan. That's included in chiyutan. It doesn't matter whether it was chilat ratzon or only sofol ratzon. Either way, it is sufficient. So this is basically the way that almost all the Rishonim learn. The Rambam learns that the sofol ratzon means while the perot are still wet, does he want them to remain wet, or has he changed his mind and now he's upset that they're wet? Which, in most of the sugyas and shas, is not mashma like that. Once something was mukshal kabal tuma, we couldn't care less about whether they're currently wet. That, for sure, it's true. And it doesn't matter to us if we couldn't care less whether he wanted or didn't want them to be wet. That particular detail is where the Rambam has his own very unique idiosyncratic sheet. Mashkim tmeim mitamim. However, even though it's true that it has to be a function of your das, that's only where the mashkim that are falling are mashkim that are themselves not tamei. They are only makshirim. But what if you're talking about mashkim themselves that are both tamei and makshir simultaneously? What would be the din over there? So there the halacha is that if the mashkim themselves are tmeim, they are metamim l'ratzon v'shelo l'ratzon. Because since these things are themselves metamim, we don't need that there needs to be a two-step process for tuma, where you're dealing with something that is first exposed, not yet exposed to tuma. So then I understand that we could separate between mashkim as makshirim and mashkim as metami. But where something is metami, at that point, not something, a mashkin is metami, it's a double whammy. And the double whammy means that at the same moment that it's coming to be metami, it is also the metami in terms of the hechsher. We don't separate between hechsher and tuma. Okay, this is the way, as I said, almost everyone learns. The question is, according to the Rambam, the din of mashkin being at the beginning shalolaratzin, if shalolaratzin at the beginning means you don't want them at all to be here, they are not going to be. This is another part of the Rambam's idiosyncratic approach, is that even if the mashkin in the end are lorotzin, on the peiros, but you didn't want that rain when it rained, the idea over the here is that you need to have the ratzon at the beginning when the mayim is no longer part of the chibur. So it's rain, or it was taken out of the river, whatever the case is. If that wasn't the ratzon, then it's not going to count. There's furthermore, the other question, so according to Rambam, it means, does it remain on the mashkin? L'ratzon is the tchila and the sof, not the tchila and the sof of its original lakita or talisha from the mechuber. So now, even if, according to this Mishnah, in a situation where it's mashkin tmeim, it's betame. Now, the Gra understands that when we're talking about mashkin tmeim, it does not mean mashkim tmeim where the water has been mekabel tuma, and now these mashkin are going to be metame something else. It's talking about mashkin that are tmeim midiraisa because they are avos hatuma. It's talking about the mayonais of the zav. That's the point, according to him. And these are metame midiraisa, even as an avatuma is what it's talking about. There, we don't need, according to the Gra, we don't need Hechsher.